Welcome to Changing Faces, Voices of Visible Difference, the podcast where we talk about having a scar, mark, or condition that affects our appearance.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast, and hello, my name is Adam Pearson, and welcome to the Changing Faces podcast, Men Edition. That's not to say that if you're a lady, you need to stop listening now. We are all about conversation. Hence, I am not alone, and I am joined by my good friends, Jazz and Atoll. Gentlemen, how are we?
I'm good.
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, been a weird few months, hasn't it? Been a weird few months. But
definitely.
So, anyway, gentlemen, let's get straight on to business. What is your visible difference, if you don't mind me asking?
So, I have psoriasis. And what it does is it basically, in a nutshell, makes you reproduce skin super, super quick. So you get these huge scabs all over your body and they never really heal because they're constantly healing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you get these big, red, painful patches all over your body. And yeah, it gets quite bad. I was actually bedbound for 9 months, covered my face, feet, everything, couldn't walk. It's pretty bad.
And how about you, Atoll? How did you come to become part of our motley crew at Changing Faces?
So my condition is called cystic hygroma, and in layman's terms, that basically means it's a condition that I was born with that causes cysts to form where you would have lymph nodes. So wherever you have lymph nodes, the cysts can develop. So for me, it was my head, neck, ear, and jaw that were mainly affected. But the kind of unique thing about the condition is it affects everyone completely different. So there's not one case that is a carbon copy. They're all extremely different.
With my condition, I've got type 1 neurofibromatosis, so I've got kind of tumours all over my body, just most on my face and upper torso. Whilst it started kind of developing and manifesting at the age of 5, in a weird way, because it happened to me so young, I sort of knew no different and got used to it really quickly. When did you first start noticing that you looked different?
I would say the first instance that I really noticed that I was different was when there was a new boy that joined the primary school, and he sort of said to me, oh, you don't look like the rest of the boys, you're different. And then from there, it kind of spiraled. If I went to the city, I would notice a lot of people staring at me quite a lot, and that really affected my confidence growing up quite a lot, because there were times that I point blank refused to go out with family because I was just so worried that people would look at me.
I think I get that as well. I had days, certainly when I was younger, where I just didn't want the hassle of it. I just want like a kind of a quiet day and a day to kind of decompress and almost get away from it all.
For sure. I think it's kind of, I always think, and me and my sisters and friends always talk about this, I would hate growing up in today's age. I kind of grew up with social media. Like, I remember when Twitter became a thing, Instagram. So it was kind of, you grew up with it. Whereas now it's kind of ingrained in society. And the reason I bring up social media is because it's all based on, have you taken the best picture? Do you look the best? How do you look? Is that a good photo that you should be putting up? And that attitude is kind of ingrained in society today. But then when you add a visible difference on top of that, it could just be catastrophic for people's confidence and mental health, because you're kind of chasing something that isn't attainable almost in some cases.
This whole world of an appearance culture, I don't think it's a controversial statement to say that it used to predominantly affect women and females, whereas now I slowly think it's starting to creep more into the arena of masculinity. Would you agree?
Oh, that makes complete sense. So I used to be a personal trainer years ago, and 99.9% of my clients were all there for just purely aesthetic reasons, and they didn't actually care about their physical fitness at all or anything like that. It was quite a toxic way of working out. It's like, oh, no, I need to make my butt bigger. I need to make my butt bigger. Oh, no, I need to get bigger biceps. It's like, yes, I know you want bigger biceps, but mate, you need to do some squats. It's like, come on. it's looking a bit wrong right now. But, you know, that's what it is. It's like, no, I just need the biceps because I still want to fit into my skinny jeans. Exercise is one of those things that a lot of people do miss out on in terms of mental health. You know, it's scientifically proven. You do exercise and it helps you with your mental health.
Yeah, but there is a tipping point, isn't there? I'm the kind of guy, and I'll happily unpack this. I love exercise. I hate the gym.
Yeah.
I've been to a gym once in my life. It was a friend of mine, called Juan, who at the time was a professional bodybuilder, which had automatically sent alarm bells ringing as to what kind of gym we were going to. And it was me and him walked in, and there was just one guy on his own in a corner, bench pressing, shouting very loudly, "Do you want to be a champion?" at no one.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm out. I will take this pigeon chest and go straight back home.
I think as well, like, I am a gay man, and in the gay community, there is such an emphasis on the way you look. Like, are you muscly? Are you built and right. stuff? And that got me down for quite a while, because that's not something that people normally talk about. You never really find guys open enough to talk about their feelings about the way they look or how it's made them feel.
Here's the million-dollar question. How do we get men from a place where they're lifting heavy weights in the gym to lifting heavy weights in their soul? And how do we get them talking about their feelings and appearance? And how do we get them to fill that kind of hole?
That was fire, by the way, lifting heavy weights in the soul.
Thank you.
I think that maybe one of the biggest areas that need to be targeted is education. You need to be taught that it's okay from a young age to talk about your feelings. If you actually ingrain that in children, they will grow up thinking it's actually okay to talk about how I feel. I remember one time falling over in the playground, and the male teacher said to me, "Men don't cry, you've got to man up." And that stuck with me for a very long time, that when I was going through confidence issues and really feeling negatively about myself, I kept it to myself and I didn't tell anyone, because I thought, oh, everyone's just going to think I'm really stupid for being a man and talking about this. So I stayed quiet, which is so wrong, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think if I think that, the majority of men probably do, because it's kind of ingrained.
It's one of those things where I think to get the younger generation and to start opening up about it, you need to get these influencers. I say influencers, but I mean, you know, these key figures in their life, the people that they look up to open up about it. There aren't really any male influencers in psoriasis. And you just start to think to yourself, well, why is that? Why is it that I'm, you know, one of the few people in the psoriasis community that's willing to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
when I know that it's an equal proportion to men and women for psoriasis. You know, it's not like more men get it or more women get it. It's pretty much equal. Why is it that the men aren't speaking out about it? But then you get the female influencers who are there, who've got like 50,000 followers. They've got all this, all that. I'm there with like 1,000. And it just, you know, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Is that maybe because like women are more ingrained to support other women in a way?
I believe so. And that they're more open to talking about sensitive subjects.
Yeah, whereas if you see a man talking about a sensitive subject, it's kind of, a lot of men might be like, oh, we don't talk about that, I'm not gonna listen.
Yeah exactly. Like people talk about psoriasis on their bits down below, and you get a lot of topics on the forums with women talking about it, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I've got it, this, use that. Never see those comments from guys. And I know that guys get it because I had it. So like, if I had it, then I know all the guys have had it. Well, not all of them, but you know, I know that guys have had it, but they don't talk about it. They never speak about it.
Which leads me nicely on to my next question, gentlemen. As you alluded to a few seconds ago, Jazz, we've got a platform here. And I think it's really important that we don't underestimate the influence that we have by doing this, because we don't know whose ears ultimately this is going to reach. And so if there is a young man listening to this, or a young male child listening to this, what advice would you give to them?
Just be comfortable in the skin that you're in. I love the skin that you're in. And once you are willing to accept who you are and learn to stop caring, everything becomes easier, honestly. The moment I stopped giving a crap about my psoriasis is the moment that I sort of found happiness, to be honest with you, and not caring about what people think of me.
I think as well, it's important to like note as well, for anyone that's listening who might be in that place, that although we're at that point now, it actually took speaking to other people about how I was feeling to get me to that point, because that was my biggest issue. I constantly tried to appease other people, fit certain molds growing up so that people didn't say stuff about the way I looked, when in actual fact, I should really have been focused on how I actually felt about myself. And when I actually started to do that, I gained confidence, I managed to speak about how I was actually feeling, and I actually started to realize that it didn't actually matter what other people thought of me, it mattered what I thought of me. And that's probably the best advice I could give to someone.
How would you have benefited from your own advice now as like a much older, more socially confident man?
There have been countless times where people have made really rude comments to me in the street, and I just stayed silent and I didn't pull them up on it. And I really wish that, like, maybe I'd try to educate more of, like, you shouldn't say that. For instance, I remember I got on a train in Dundee and I sort of, it was a 20-minute journey to Perth. As I was getting on, this group of men actually started making really derogatory comments about the way I look. And the train was packed, so not only were they saying stuff, I then felt the eyes of everyone on the train looking at me. And obviously no one said anything, because who does these days? And I remember going home, and I'll be open and honest about it, I sat and I cried about what they'd said, and it just dumbfounded me as to why people were like that. And I really bogged myself down about the way I look. And then I thought, you know, hold on a minute. I put on some Beyonce, some Rihanna, and rediscovered who I was, and thought in that moment, I'm not going to let other people control how I feel about myself. I'm going to own my disfigurement. My disfigurement is part of me. It's not who I am as a person. And focusing on that and sort of trying to help myself was a massive turning point for me. Now I just don't stand for it. If someone says something to me, I'll say it in a nice way, but I'll let them know that you don't say that to people.
I imagine you're a bit like me when it comes to that. If someone steps up, you're not kind of, you're sassy and classy with a touch of assy, and then you
That is kind of... definitely, I'm adding that to my Twitter bio.
Well, guys, I'll be honest, I have something really powerful to say at the end of this podcast, but you just will storm it all. Anyway, all it leaves me to do is to say thank you both very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. And if you're listening to this and want to know more, go and check out Changing Faces online, Face Equality, on the old Twitter sphere and the old Instagram. And yeah, thanks for listening. Take care.
You have been listening to the Voices of Visible Difference podcast from the charity Changing Faces. If you would like to get in touch, share your thoughts, or find out more, you can contact us via the Changing Faces website or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.